You're listening to Gifted with Sheila White, a podcast that will inspire you. Its purpose is to uplift and entertain creatives to pursue their passions through their gifts. Sheila White is a film and television producer, author, and entrepreneur. And in each episode, Sheila talks with gifted individuals about their journey and the lessons they've learned. It will also inspire you to make an impact, living your best purpose-driven life with clarity. And now, here's your host, Sheila White.
Our guest today is Margaret Motti. She is the founder and director of Motti Theater Company. Since its conception in 2004, the Humble Troupe is comprised of talented individuals whose mission is to educate, elevate, and inspire entertainment in the arts. I'm so excited to have with us our guest today. Margaret, welcome to Gifted today.
Thank you, Miss Sheila Wright.
Yes.
We're getting there.
That's okay. You know what? I'm really excited that you're here because there's so much that we have to talk about. We're going to deep sea dive a little bit today.
Yes.
First, I want to know how your upbringing in Chicago on the South Side has shaped your ideas of wanting to go into theater.
That's an excellent question. And thank you again for having me, Miss Sheila White.
Yes.
You know, I grew up in Hyde Park, so it was a diverse community.
Mm.
And my mother, really, she enrolled me in the Ben Vereen Acting School.
Wow.
And it was, I believe it was around the Hyde Park community where I took classes. But being in a diverse community, I was able to learn and observe different people, their background, which inspired playwriting.
Oh, okay.
So I was, you know, been fortunate to have parents who exposed me to a lot of different events in the community, plays. Like I said, I was in the Ben Vereen Acting School very young. And just being the museums.
Oh, yeah.
So a
Chicago.
Lot of the culture helped to inspire the art in me and just the openness.
Now, how many is in your family? I mean, did you have a large family that said, we're all going to go do something in the arts, or was it you only child?
I'm the only girl and I have four brothers, but I'm the eldest. And it's like stair steppers. And we used to practice a lot of times in the living room or the kitchen pretending that we were the Jackson Five because it's five of us and listen to songs and we used to reenact movies, like our favorite movies, and play them over and over again. But my brothers, this wasn't their arena.
Okay.
I just continued to tap in. I had a vivid imagination. I used to rewatch a lot of favorite musicals like The Wiz, Grease, Little Shop of Horror.
Yes, and I used
to play them over and over again. And that's when I knew this is like the lane I belong in. It was very fun.
That's so interesting. How do you manage to keep artists motivated? Because you coach as well.
Yes.
And, you know, you had brothers. That was your practicing ground right there, working with the boys.
They were my practicing ground. Absolutely. You know, I like to tap into people who are just as expressive as I am.
Okay.
And that's where the connection begins.
So
when you have a connection with another artist or family members, whomever, that's where it builds. So it starts with the connection. And that's what it makes it easy. You know, and finding people who are like-minded like you.
You know, it's so interesting because when you're growing up, a lot of singers will say they had a brush and they were singing and practicing with that. And people are like, stop singing, hush, be quiet. But the gifting just comes out. And as you were a little girl with your brothers, even though you were practicing, like you said, the Jackson Five musicals, theater and things like that, that kind of helped shaped who
it
you
did.
Are.
Absolutely.
And then going to the Ben Vereen School, of course, and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the journey of beginning your own theater production, because it's like doing it, singing and acting as just fun is one thing. But now you took it to a whole nother level, to a professional level, and you're doing this as a career. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, thank you for asking. Well, again, it started as a child and my parents invested a lot in me with, like I said, exposing me to different programs and always having an opportunity to rise. Even in high school, I went to a private high school, Muhammad University. And while I was there in like sophomore year, 15 years old, I met a director. She was trained at Columbia and then she worked with Harry Lennox. She did some work in New York. And I was blessed to meet her, and I trained under her at 15. She was in her 30s. She was doing like Shakespearean work and what have you. But that is when I knew this is the space I belonged. Mm-hmm. So I studied her practice, how she managed her actors, how she auditioned, and she would have me around her all the time. So from 15 to 18 years old, I was like, this is where I belong. But I went off to college and I pursued education because sometimes family may not encourage you to do the art thing because they're not certain if there's a career, if you make a livelihood.
Yeah.
But I equally love teaching just as much as I do as performing arts.
Okay.
So I secured my degree in education. But while I was in college at Northern, I still was fascinated. So I joined all of the theater programs and I was in all of the theater art workshops.
Yes.
So I was still cultivating the talent.
Okay.
Still taking the clinicals and student teaching. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting my degree, became certified educator, graduated at 21.
Yeah.
Had a classroom as a career, but I was still doing plays. I still was auditioning. Uh-huh. And then after the first year of teaching, I said, you know what? I want to like write my own play. Mm. And that's how it started. It started with some college friends because while I was in college, like I said, I was doing plays.
Yeah.
And they encouraged me and they said, well, you know, Margaret, why don't you just do your own theater company? And that's how it just developed and it evolved.
Yeah.
And at that time, there wasn't social media and TikTok and all of
these generations that they just kind of say XY and all of that.
We stomped the ground, recruiting, knocking on doors, passing out these paper flyers to see who want to join our troop. And it just expanded.
Yeah.
And where I'm at now, learning from that journey, learned from a lot of great people, a lot of elders and youth. I said, you know what? I'm ready to really do this thing seriously.
Wow.
Grassroots gave us a start, but it's time to elevate. Mm. So that's why this whole play and what I'm a part of now is so important to me, because it's like it was the foundation. And how long do you stay in the foundation? It's like it's time to rise. It's time to grow.
Wow.
You've paved the way. You've earned it.
You got started.
You have the scars.
Yes.
So it's like now let's see what the world has.
You know, it's interesting when you say the scars, because you are creative. And oftentimes our parents and older generations, like we talked about before, social media, they want you to be a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, and these types of things. That's that paycheck. Mm-hmm. But as a creative, what type of resistance did you have saying, okay, I kind of want to do this as a career versus let's drop the teaching? What was that like for your family dynamics? You know, was everybody like, okay, go and do it? Or what was some of the reaction?
Sure. Because I started my career really early, my parents entrusted that I'm an independent, I'm mature, I can make my own decisions.
That's good.
So
that's
with that, I just took the risk myself. Mm. You know, I was in CPS for almost 20 years.
Wow. Okay.
But I knew my heart was in really developing the company and serving a classroom and then going to rehearsals at night. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So I had to make like the ethical decision to doing what was best. Wow. So I released that and I, you know, said, you know, this classroom thing is supposed to be for someone who was born to teach, and this is when they wake up in the morning doing it.
It's the drive.
I start waking up thinking about my script and not my lesson plans.
Wow.
So it started to conflict.
Yeah.
So it was like that internal voice, like, let it go because it's not fair to the career.
Yeah.
So I took that leap of faith.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because when you're talking about inspiring others to greatness, I mean, you had that inner drive, something that you wanted to do that motivated you.
Yes.
Some people, you know, they want to do something, but they don't have that inner drive. Let's talk about that a little bit. How do you help artists to conquer that fear so that they can overstep the landmines that are out there that I can't do it, I don't have enough money, I don't have the support? Yeah. How do you help artists to overcome that?
You know, it's a daily walk, even for myself.
I know
this is my purpose. So I like to encourage, as I'm encouraging myself with affirmations. Mm. When you know something is your purpose, you just have to take the risk.
Yeah.
So I just encourage people, take the risk, be intelligent about it, like not reckless. You know, have a plan, you know, work with other people, have a mentor.
Yes.
And, you know, if this is something that you keep circling back to, it's meant for you to do it. Mm-hmm. Trust. And you don't know unless you take that risk.
Wow.
And, you know, like I said, having the affirmations, mm-hmm. surrounding yourself with people of like-mindedness,
yes,
help
yes.
to give you that the motivation.
Right, right.
And right now we're taking a risk, like taking yes. a show again downtown for mm-hmm. 10 shows. It's the first that we've ever done.
Okay.
A lot
okay.
of our shows are like weekend runs.
Oh.
And it's so like safe.
Yes.
You
yes,
know, it's yeah. like the show is over. We sold it out. It's safe. Everybody gets paid. And we're like, yeah, we did a great show. Yeah. Then we're back. But it's mm. like you really don't see the value of a mm. thing unless you run a show. You have mm. all these hours of practice and everybody's sacrificing their time. Mm. It's noteworthy to have a run. So this is a major leap of faith.
Wow.
And even sometimes, even in our community, mm-hmm. our artistic mm-hmm. collective,
yeah.
some people may have doubt, but we're in it now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we have to continue to build each other up.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What does humility and faith mean to you? Because that's, like you said, taking a step of faith.
Sure.
What does faith mean to you? So many people are lost trying to figure out how can I do it? Reading,
yeah.
searching, you talked about affirmations. What does that mean to you in this journey?
Yeah. Well, I started off with mm. God
oh,
because
okay.
he's the
okay.
giver of gifts.
Yes,
and
yes.
I nurse from him.
Mm.
I'm reassured that he gave me a purpose and I'm living in that purpose mm. and he makes no mistakes. So right. I just strive to be an example,
okay.
not to project my belief systems
yes.
on people,
yeah.
but if people see that you can do it, it will give them the inspiration that they can do it too.
Wow.
So just the practice of speaking to the creator,
yes.
The reassurance,
mm-hmm.
And the doors that he's opening, like even with this
wow.
opportunity being
yeah.
on your show
yeah.
and you serving as our marketing partners,
yes.
that was a walk and mm-hmm. a testament of faith.
Yes.
Not seeing it coming.
Mm.
So sometimes you can't predict it. You can't determine it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that's where the faith is.
Mm.
It's like stepping out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what is to be will be.
Wow.
If you're in alignment.
If you're in alignment.
Yeah.
How do you go about finding the actors and the dancers and the talent? I mean, there's talent everywhere, but you
sure.
need a certain type of person to be able to go with you through the long haul because people start and stop.
Yes.
They audition, they don't show up.
That's true.
You know, and so how do you find the right people? Because a lot of people will come to the audition.
Yes.
But they don't realize what it takes. You talk about the passion and that inner drive.
Yes.
They don't have that part, but mm-hmm. they just want to do something.
Yeah.
You know, so and they're like, let me just try this.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they don't realize the worth ethic. So how did you find the talent? And then explain to the audience a little bit about what they need to have as far
sure.
as the worth ethic to do this type of thing, because it's not for the faint in heart.
It's not. No, it really isn't. And I'm so thankful you asked that question mm-hmm. because it certainly is mm-hmm. a schooling.
Oh, wow.
You have to cultivate yourself by studying.
Mm-hmm.
I like to just encourage first any yeah. young person or even adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Study it. There is a lot of information on YouTube and just do a basic search. What
that's
do
good.
I need to prepare for an audition?
Mm, that's good. Yeah.
Ask questions,
mm-hmm.
but how we recruit talent, we do it the old school way. We
okay.
have our flyers out and we hit the ground running where the artists are.
Mm.
And we go to colleges, universities, but this time we were very intentional.
Yes.
We knew that this play needed a certain energy, a different feel,
mm-hmm.
and we were seeking trained musical theater students.
That's
and
different.
That is what the universe sent us. So we have a marvelous cast.
Mm.
One of the best casts that we've had in many for
wow.
a very long time.
Wow.
And these people were prepared because they come from a school
mm.
where they learn the
yeah.
technique.
Yeah.
But then we have another group of people who they have the raw talent. They just need an opportunity. So with the Mighty Theater Company, we offer sessions. There have been a couple of sessions during mm-hmm. the rehearsal process that we'll pause
yeah.
with the
yeah.
script
yeah.
and we'll have a sit down to do some cleanup, like
mm.
technique,
yeah.
actors etiquette, what to say to a director, what not to say.
Mm.
So it's a training ground.
Okay.
And
okay.
we're opening ourselves up to being that training ground because it's like a tossed salad. We have the
oh,
trained
okay.
and we have the amateur who, they again, like I said, they mm-hmm. have the talent, but they
mm-hmm.
just need to be a part of a circle, a part of a group that can give them the professionalism.
Mm.
So that's what we
kind of go back and forth.
It is.
Like
it
that.
Is. And even yeah. with the professional, sometimes they forget. because it, sometimes of us, not everyone, but we get so comfortable and like we got it, and you have to eat the humble pie.
Yes,
kind of reset.
Right.
So it's a learning. You have to always be a student of this experience.
Wow.
No one has arrived.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's where the humility comes.
That's what I was
going to
ask
you. Being a
sponge. Yes, being a sponge, because
being a sponge to the experience.
People that are so talented, they're singing and they're doing some things. They got a little, like we talked about social media that's out there. Some people have a following and they're like, I'm already doing this. And they think that you're doing them a favor because they have a little name or they have a social media following. But you're looking for, when you're looking for talent, you're looking for someone that's teachable, coachable.
Sure.
Let's talk about that part of it, the coachableness that you have to have going into theater.
Sure.
Because it's not just talent. You know, there's other things involved.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the personality, it's the human spirit.
Okay,
and I like to say, were you born to do this? Are you, and we ask questions like, you know, how do you respond if the director say no to you? Or if you have to redo something again, are you able to take direction? And then after the orientation, some may find, this is not me. Mm. I'm an independent, I don't like to be told what to do. So then they don't stay.
Wow.
So,
wow,
you know, you have the variety of personalities and people who are set in their ways. So eventually these people tend to kind leave the process.
Off the,
It happens naturally.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Bronzeville, the musical. I'm so excited. The production that Mahdi Theater is bringing to Chicago.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about that production. What is that production about? And give us a little background.
Well, it's very historical because we're telling the story of our ancestors. Mm. Our great ones who migrated from the South to come to Chicago to build that nucleus in the South Side of Chicago, now coined as Bronzeville. They have a story, and it's a blessing to be able to write a play about their story.
Wow.
It's just with an urban twist to it, so it's a revival. Mm. But it's such a unique history. Like, why did they leave the South? What happened when they arrived to Chicago? Was it easy for them? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, a lot of our young people, they don't know the story of the Great Migration.
Okay.
A lot of Black people in Chicago have some sense of tie to the South,
be it
a grandparent, an aunt.
True. Yes, yes.
We always say, oh, my auntie is from Alabama.
Yeah, well, Mississippi,
like,
or whatever.
How do we end up here?
Oh,
so that is a story.
That's a story.
And, you know, everyone has a story to tell.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think it's a historical movement.
Okay.
And the score is original. The storyline is original. And our goal is to tap into the young people, the young spirit.
Okay.
To get them acquainted with their history. Okay. A lot of times, they don't know it. So the job of a playwright is to tell and write the stories so that it can be exposed.
Now let's talk about the music, because the music spans from the Great Migration all the way up to modern day hip hop, so to speak.
It
you
is.
Know, blues, jazz.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the music. The artistic director, Mr. Timothy Walker himself. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the music, because this is all original music.
It is original music. And you know, the music is evolving because our history is so rich. You just can't put it in a 2-hour play.
Okay,
so we're taking bites from here, from there, and making a musical collage.
Oh.
So yes, as you said, we're singing the Negro spirituals.
Oh, okay,
and
okay.
a lot of songs I wrote, and we're adding twists to it, but we want it to still be a musical, that Broadway sound.
Yes,
so it's,
yes.
there's a science to that, because some people who come into our space, they said, this sounds like a R&B track. Where is the Broadway to it?
Yes.
So that's where we are right now in the design, making sure that the bells and whistles of that coloring is in the
story.
Of that story. The thread, yes.
Wow. Now, what are some things that you had to learn or unlearn with a production company and a theater company? Because there's so many voices out there, so many books to read, so many people giving you advice and do this and the lesson. What are some things that you had to learn or unlearn on this journey? Because having a theater is a big step.
Yes.
It's a big step. I mean, you talk about not only actors and actors, but the financing and the bookkeeping and the rehearsals and just living life in general.
Yes.
So what are some of those things that along this journey that you said, that's not going to work?
Yeah. You know what? It's the experience. It's the journey itself.
Okay.
And every day is a learning tool.
Yes.
So there's, you know, we're dealing with things every day, putting out fires. So some things I've learned just through the years, what fits this criteria.
Oh, okay.
People mean well, but it may not be necessary for what I'm working on.
Yes.
So just protecting the space and also trusting that you are an expert. Yes. You have years in it.
Yes.
But again, I like to learn from the experts too. I have consulting directors. Pamon Remy is one. Okay. He's a trailblazer in Chicago. Renako Jahi from ETA Theater. He's now Jennifer Hudson acting coach. So I surround myself with people who are older. They're in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And they give me a good foundation. Mm. But, you know, there's always learning. You know, it never stops.
It never stops.
No, it never stops.
So true, so true. And with all of the things and the years of coaching and teaching and working, and not just teaching in the classroom,
sure,
in the city of Chicago, but just coaching the artists.
I mean,
you're learning so much from these veterans that are out there and things
that. And to add on, it's a trust. Trusting this experience and trusting the process is what creates the success of it. We're gonna second guess, but just stepping out there, doing it, circling yourself around experts, people who are trained in the business, and study of it. We have to constantly study. So we share a lot of content, articles with the team. If I come across an article with choreography, I share it with the team.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Because This art, the theater world is evolving.
Yes, true.
It's not the same it was
years ago.
That's right.
That's true. And how it's marketed and what we have. Like we talk about, social media wasn't around then.
No.
You know, back in the day, and theater was a totally different situation. You know, at one time, television wasn't even around. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's all young people know. But there wasn't television. There wasn't Google and all these things. And so it was the old school marketing, like you said, taking papers and flyers and passing them out and things like that.
And we're keeping up with the modern time. So if this is a modern time, we need to also be up to speed with what's going on for this time.
Right. That's so true. Now, besides having the theater and this production, the Bronzeville, the musical, you're a mom.
Yes.
You're a mom. I mean, that's a whole nother side of trying to manage that life. Like you said, life goes on.
It does.
You're doing life in the midst of all of this. With all the things that you're doing now, you know, with the theater and the productions and coaching and teaching and working around all these veterans, what are you most proud of to date, would you say?
Oh, that's a question.
There's so many things.
You know? You know, I'm thankful that I am trusting myself. I would say that I have seen a shift in my growth and that I am grateful. Mm. I'm more in a spirit of gratitude because it is a learning journey. And I'm grateful for my children because they're very patient and they understand this life. And they were theater babies. They were always around me and, you know, sitting in a corner at some interview.
Yeah, yeah.
But they appreciate and they see the greater picture. It's bigger than me. So I appreciate being able to share or drop seeds to someone else.
Yes.
Because that's what it's about. It's about building legacy, building a foundation for someone else.
Yes.
So I'm most grateful about my growth, but I'm also appreciative of the service.
Yeah.
It's like it's beyond like the bells and whistles and the cameras.
Yes.
It's like, are you servicing a cause? Is it the message? So a lot of times we talk to the actors as well as the team.
Okay.
Did the message or is the message clear?
Yes.
Is the points in the script clear?
Okay.
Because the objective of this play is to give a message. And what is the message? It's a healing message. Mm. It's a message of love.
Yes.
It's a message about dreams. Everyone has a dream.
Wow. Yeah.
And we want that to be the forefront.
Yeah.
So, you know, just the growth. I encourage other people to, you know, there are growing curves and you're reaching milestones, celebrate yourself.
Yes.
And be in a spirit of gratitude.
Yes.
And just keep in mind it's greater than you. Mm. You know, you're being used for a catalyst for someone else.
Wow. And as a catalyst, which you are for someone else.
Yes.
How do you help people to keep the dream alive? There's so many things with competition and change and complexity in our world today. How do you help a person to keep the dream alive in them, no matter what it may be, because you can become swallowed up? You know, there's almost like a holographic grip on individuals, and it's not physically there, but it's like invisible grip on them. And their dreams are like, I would like to do this. I would like to soar and like an eagle. They don't know how to do it. How do you help a person to keep their dream alive? Because I know dreams are something that you've had as a little girl and it's coming to fruition.
Yeah.
So what would you say to a person to keep that dream or dreaming going? Don't stop.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it goes back to your purpose. Okay. Why, you know, asking yourself, what, why was I created? And am I living that purpose?
Yes.
And
yes.
fine tuning and cultivating that. It may not occur right away with you figuring it out.
Okay.
But I believe once a person knows why they're here,
their why,
yeah. it will give them the drive to be. It will give them the drive to execute. It will give them the drive to be in circles and places that reflects who they are. So I think it starts off with your why, your purpose. Why were you born? Everyone is born for a significant contribution to society.
Yes.
Big, small, but whatever it is,
yeah.
just tap into that purpose. And then it goes from there.
Oh,
and then you're sent in those spaces.
Yes, yes.
And it starts, you know, building.
Yeah, yeah. How important is it to you to, with the Black community, I'd say, to talk about the arts and to get them involved in the arts? Because it's something that just yields something, you
yes.
know, with as creatives.
Yeah.
How do you get them into that? And why is it important for people to look more at the arts, you know,
yeah.
this community to look at the arts versus other types of science or something
yeah.
else? You know, what do you find that this gives your community
yeah.
that maybe the science
sure.
maybe can or whatever it is?
Because it's expression.
Oh.
Everyone has a voice. You know, and be it a singer, you dance, everyone has a language.
Yes.
And tapping into that expression and having the freedom to express without being or feeling restricted. I think that's what makes it very profound when we share it in our community.
Yeah.
Because people don't know how, they have voices, they have things that they want to do, they want to express, but they don't have an outlet. So theater is an outlet. You can tell your story. You can be free to be who you are without judgments. Yeah, I just
beautiful.
Think it's just the expression of it all.
Yeah.
And it builds, you know, it builds on character.
Yeah.
Gives a person a sense of self-esteem, identity, when you are in an artistic collective.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to Bronzeville, the musical. Where is that being shown at, that stage production? How can people get tickets?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a great production. So let's talk a little bit about where people can get tickets and the times of when it's going to be playing.
Well, we are opening in April.
Okay.
April 5th through the 14th at the Studebaker Theater. That's 410 South Michigan. And people can purchase tickets, fineartsbuilding.com or mightytheater.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited about telling the story of the migration. It's an urban twist to it because we have young people in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to tell more of our stories as a Black people, as a community.
Okay.
And a lot of times we're always going to the Broadway shows and we see in the Hamiltons, which is great.
Yes, it's great production.
But we don't have many, like
the history
of our bar. You know, you'll ask, well, what are some of our musicals? And we say the same, The Color Purple, The Wiz.
The Wiz,
And we have to say, Ain't Misbehaving.
Yeah.
We need to continue to add on to that list.
Got it. That's beautiful.
So our children can see themselves on the stage or in the screen.
Yeah. So when you talk about artistic expression, which is so key and so important, because like you said, everyone has a story.
Yes.
And having people express it through dance or through theater, through singing, all of these different expressions, I think the creatives just yields a certain type of flavor to the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When not to put shed
it has
a dimmer,
color.
It has colors. Not that the sciences or any other field, you know, in the medical field or whatever, can't make a difference. But I think when you said that this type of the arts, it just adds something, no matter who it is, for anyone around the world.
It's a release.
Yeah,
you know, when you're out of that 9 to 5 and you want to sit down and listen to something entertaining, you can go to
comedy,
a play.
Or whatever it
you
is.
You can go to a concert.
Yeah.
The artistic community is designed to give that release.
Yeah.
To give that, I'm in a non-judgment zone and I can be myself and I can sit down and be entertained, or I can be uplifted. I can be inspired. I can listen to some good music and I can just escape.
Yeah.
It's like a world of escape.
Wow.
You know, so even though there's a lot of work behind
the
scenes to design it, but that's what the artistic community purpose in service. Whereas, because without it, it can be a boring world.
Yes. That's very true. Because even when the pandemic happened and there was no, you couldn't go to sports events and you couldn't go to theater and you know, all these different types of entertainment that the creators were, it was like, when is this going to be over?
Absolutely.
People felt like they were losing their mind and just becoming unhinged.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, where can they get this expression. I mean, just people that are working at home, they wanted to be able to go out, but they couldn't do that.
Nope.
So during that time, the expressions, as you mentioned, was stifled.
Yes.
And
then people went to social media to do a lot of recording.
Yes.
That was their outlet.
Yes, yes, yeah. And so that's why that's important. And so sure. That's even a different form, like we mentioned Google and social media, which is another type of expression that people express them way that way. So we need creatives. We need people to stay in the industry. What would you say to a person that wants to, we talked about dreams, that wants to embark in theater, let's specifically go there, that they would need to be able to, I would say, get closest to success as they can, because you've been in this, you're not new to this, you're no. true to this.
Sure.
And so as an educator as well,
sure.
What are some things that they need to hone in on to be able to just get their foot into the door going into theater?
I would say, you know, take a class.
Okay.
Again, you know, go online and look for an acting class at the Park District or take a community class.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, get your
feet. It doesn't have to be a lot of money investment or something.
It doesn't. Start off small.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, study it.
Mm.
Read your books, read your articles, look online. Well, you know, if you're, because everything, again, is on online or Google.
Yes,
but
yes.
do your research. But if you okay. feel that you were born to do it and you've always had this story in you, go and take your classes, wow. you know, and enroll, you know, first start off and mm-hmm. and join a crew, join a theater company.
Yeah.
You know, start with auditioning. Mm-hmm. Just get out there, get out of the box.
Yeah. yeah.
You know.
Now, what would you say about mentorship? Would you encourage mentorship?
Number one, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, again, through research, find a mentor.
Or a virtual mentor, someone.
Someone, yeah. yeah. Put it out there because the universe will open the door for you
wow.
if you take the first step.
Wow.
And that's how I was very blessed in high school, meeting Winifred. She came and was looking for some young people in her play, and I stayed with her, you know, ever since.
Wow.
So, you know, the mentorship is the foundation.
Okay.
And if you even if you can't find one right away, do your own due diligence. Take the first step.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Don't wait step for somebody to hand it to you or
no,
something.
No, you have to take the initiative.
Okay.
Because no one is going to just give it.
Mm.
You know, you have to open your mouth and you have to do, you know, put it, invest in yourself.
So what is a typical day of a theater person? A lot of people, they just go to the theater, we sit, we enjoy it, we clap, we smile, we have a good time afterwards, whereas we're leaving out talking about it. They don't know the work that goes into it. So what would be, say, a typical day? I know the Hamiltons and those are different. But what is a typical day, would you say, for a theater person, the person that wants to go into the industry? I mean, you start early,
sure.
you go through life, yes, but what does that look like with the rehearsals and,
sure.
and those types of things?
Well, you know, once you're cast, you know, obviously mm-hmm. this is part of your lifestyle now. And, you know, there's certain things that you're not able to do any longer. It's a discipline, I should say.
Wow, that's
so, you know, if you're running to have the big dream of going on this Broadway tour or whatnot, it starts with yourself first, the training, making sure that you're eating well, making sure that you're constantly studying, auditioning, reading your script, and just knowing that the language and who you are is changing because you're an artist and you're representing a theater collective. So I like to think about the discipline.
Okay.
You know, you have to stay disciplined to the art because it's not a talent show in and out. This is, you're part of now a community where people, your reputation precedes you. So if you're on one set and you made some poor choices, that director can call another director and say, that's not the best person.
That's interesting.
So, you know, and people have those experiences, but they bounce back.
Okay.
And because it's part of their learning journey.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would say, you know, the discipline and the mindset.
Okay.
And again, circling yourself around people who are doing what you do.
Mm.
That's very important. The nest.
Wow. Well, in our closing time, what would you like to say to our audience about this production, Bronzeville the Musical, to encourage them to come out and see it? It's going to be taking place in Chicago. But what would you like to say in our closing words to our audience about this musical and what it's doing for you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, you got us all excited.
You know, I'm excited and I'm, again, in a spirit of gratitude because it's allowing me to really connect to a dream that I've had ever since I was a child. Everyone has a dream. So just take a step out on faith, take a risk. And this play, Bronzeville, the musical, is about dreams. It's about a family who has a dream. And it's about love. It's about commitment. It's about faith. It's about the tenacious spirit. So we feel that whoever comes out and see the show, they will feel inspired. And whatever dream they have, it will awaken that in them.
Wow, wow. Well, folks, my special guest today has been the founder, the director, the producer of the musical Bronzeville, the musical. It'll be taking place in Chicago at the Studebaker Theater. You want to look that up because it's going to be great. It's going to be taking place on April 5th through the 14th. Tickets are available. We want you to call a friend. Let them know that this is the play that they need to see. There's so much happening. There's music. There's dance. It's something for the entire family to be able to enjoy. So we want you to get your tickets. If you did not hear this entire broadcast today, we want you to visit our website at roadtoeternity.net. You'll find out about the Bronzeville musical on there and a lot of great information. You can also get in contact with us to be able to find out how to get a hold of Margaret to be able to get tickets as well. It's a great production. I encourage you and the entire family to go out and see it. Thank you for listening. I enjoyed this conversation today, and you are going to enjoy Bronzeville, the musical. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Gifted with Sheila White. We hope you understand how your gifts can make an impact on the world. Gifted with Sheila White is produced by Road to Eternity, a film and television production company.